down and six at the Cleveland 19-yard line. Thompson and Hogan wide left. Goodwin to the right. Clay the tight end to the right side. Bronson Hill in the shotgun with Taylor. He's back to pass. Shoulder fake. Getting pressure. He's going down. Kruger got him on the sack. Back at the 29-yard line.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jim Donovan on the call last night, as always, on the Cleveland Browns, PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Zagura Wilhelm Kidd. We're going to just go with your phone calls. It's going to be a reaction day, all about you. 216-578-0850, Larry in Elyria. Larry, what's going on, man?
Nathan, man, what's up, you guys?
Good, man.
I tell you what, Johnny Manziel, this year I know they got, he's going to get some twos and threes, you guys, but we got to find out what he's about this year. I mean, it's going to take time for this kid, you know, to play in a pocket, his progressions, reads. I don't know how long it's going to take. But if you were, you guys, in your opinion, would you wait for him for another year or so, or would you this year see what he has and maybe next year find someone else?
I think I actually would take the opposite tact. I would give him another year to continue to become more of a professional, to learn from a professional like Josh. And, you know, if Josh performs like we think he can, it'll be another year of growth for him, a year of looking at film with McCown. And then I would say going into next year, I would give strong consideration to making him the starter.
Yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
Excuse me, interrupting, Nathan. But this team right now is incomplete. The reason I say that, you have some veterans on his team too, but younger kids, but I think they're still building for the future, you guys. You still have a lot of holes to fill.
I think that they have tried to get there as much as they can, but in terms of the holes as I see it, I think you still want another dominant pass rusher. I think you want playmakers out wide, and I think you want to get the quarterback situation settled. At least the good news is it feels like you're getting there.
Well, and also,
with Johnny.
You say we need a dominant pass rusher. Well, let's wait and see.
Nate Orchard could be.
Let's let the guy play out and develop. Like, that's part of the – you can't consistently be overreacting. And I think he's been fine and he's been good in preseason, but he might be that guy. You still need a playmaking wide receiver, I agree. And you need a long-term answer at quarterback, because even if McCown's good, it's a two-year stopgap. So the question becomes, can Johnny continue to develop and take the reins from him?
Yes, and let's be honest, I think it's going to be hard for Josh McCown to make it 16 games. I think there's going to be a good chance you're going to see Johnny Manziel at some point.
Really?
This year.
You think so?
I think so. I think it's you're up there in age a little bit. He's already dinged up a little bit. You know, it's just one of those things.
Behind this line, it shouldn't happen.
We hope so. We hope so. Let's go to Johnny B in Pittsburgh.
Hey, guys, let me tell you something. Every show, every day, I just gain more and more respect and knowledge the way you guys bring it. It's incredible.
Thank you.
Here's what you just hit the nail on the head. I don't think Josh McCown is going to hold up either. Now, listen, here's the thing. I believe, as I've been saying all along, that with a veteran quarterback, with Coach Pettine, you guys know what is in store. Now, here, about 2 minutes ago, you were talking about the defense. Our defense this season is going to have to carry us. Here's why. You just hit it. If something happens to McCown, Manziel got to step up, okay? We got the coach. We got the line. Guys, you see the practices every day. I don't. How ready are the defense? Because Pettine isn't going to play anything. Look, we all know this is nothing but practice, okay? The real season starts against New York.
Yep.
Guys, are the Browns ready? You tell me. You're there every day, buddy.
It's very so I would say
let me
yes.
Hold on. Before you answer this, I want you to answer this because I want you to tie into – so one of the things that's being said around – a lot of reporters locally are saying, and I actually just got a tweet about it as well, is that they feel that there is a lack of urgency, energy, and intensity from this team. And I wanted to get your take on that.
I could see how the perception could be created for that. And a lot of it has to do with the lack of the 11 to 13 players that will make up the core of our defense fully participating together. Because we're always without – we're without Hayden one day. We're without Tremont another. We're without Gip. You know, and guys, you know, have been up and down. Mingo's out. So – I can see why that perception would come about, because you know, they want to be a dominant unit, and they're really only a unit, or have been a unit, a few sprinklings of time throughout training camp, and we've definitely yet to see that in the preseason, which we hope to do now with, you know, a few extra days rest going into Tampa Bay.
Well, that leads me to, I think the preseason is a bit of a joke. It's way too long, and I don't have a problem whatsoever. I would rest all the starters in the preseason. To me, they should cut it back to one preseason game and a couple scrimmages. The only reason they don't is because it's free money. They don't have to pay the players, and they get all the revenue for it. There's no reason. The 19 guys sat out the game for the Bills, 14 for the Browns. We're just biding our time. We don't have four out of our top 11 players. Our defense is going to be completely different when you put one of the best corners in the entire league out there. Who's, as far as I'm concerned, don't play him at all.
But I think that if you talk to the coaches, you know, who run these teams, who evaluate this talent, if you talk to the general managers, if you could completely take away the injury factor from the preseason of losing, you know, a starter or even a viable backup or your quarterback or the risk that comes with playing them and why they're limited in these settings, they wouldn't change a thing.
Right.
They love the four games. They love it for every single reason. And I would say,
but you can't change the injury risk. The injury risk. Look at how many guys are across the league are out for the season already. It's the same every year.
But then if we get to week two of the football season and you're 0-2 or you're off to a slow start or your offense can't run the football and can't protect McCown, and McCown's got no timing with his wide receivers, and our defense kind of looks like you know Swiss cheese, you're going to go, man, you know, they haven't been together. We've been resting them the first 3 weeks of the preseason. They've got no rapport. You know, we don't know what we're doing. And so it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Right.
In regards to this preseason.
I don't know. I think
it's a tough thing because you've got to, there's no substitute for live game reps.
And these guys,
you know,
they play themselves into shape.
I don't know. You look at to me, there's one coach that's head and shoulders above the rest, and he never plays his players in the preseason.
Tom Brady will play in the preseason.
He plays very little. Wes Welker, when he was on that team, never, ever played in the preseason. And so they struggle a little bit in the first month, and then they catch their rhythm. Last year, they were 2-2, should have been 1-3.
But can the first 4 weeks of the season by catching a rhythm
and winning 10 games
if
every
your
year.
your defense is solid, then
but
yeah.
But don't you look at this schedule and say you've got three teams who picked in the top six in the NFL draft in your first three games? You need to come out of the gate strong.
Yeah, and you need those guys healthy for those three games. I think health is way more important than them getting preseason reps where they're playing at not 100% effort anyways.
All right, let's go to Chris in Medina.
Stat this morning on TV, and I've never seen it before, and it was a quarterback sack percentage, and they were talking about RG3, and the stat was at about 12% for him. But what troubled me is that McCown was third. His sack percentage was 10%. And I started thinking about it. You know, Hoyer really got the ball out quick last year. And I'm not looking at, you know, whatever sure. You thought of Hoyer is fine. But does it seem like McCown doesn't get it out as quick? Because that can make an offensive line look better or worse. If you got a quarterback getting rid of the ball, he's not taking sacks, as opposed to somebody that may be holding it a little too long.
So it's tough to compare these things like apples to apples because it is, you know, very much dependent on your offensive system, et cetera. But, yes, getting the ball out quick I think is something that Brian Hoyer did do a pretty good job of. And if you're going to look at last year in terms of time to attempt, Hoyer was about 2.35 seconds last year. That was his time to attempt it with the Browns last year. I'm looking for Josh McCown real quickly. I'm trying to find him on this same one to give kind of a comparison sake, and I don't see him for some reason. So I'll look for that and I'll find that number for you. But it's something that, oh, here we go. It's supposed to be regular season. It is important, but I don't see Josh McCown holding the football. I see him being decisive when his first read is open, and I see him going through his progressions when it's not there.
I agree. No, and I do too. I see it. You see it more so in practice because you're out there every day, and Josh McCown gets a heck of a lot more reps with the ones and 7-on-7 and in move the ball situations or 11-on-11 situations as we did in Rochester versus the Bills. So this is a small snippet, but as you mentioned, you know, coming out of the gates, this is what concerns you about Josh McCown. What we saw last night are the things that he cannot do for this team to be successful.
So he took 2.7 seconds last year to each attempt, and Brian Hoyer, by comparison's sake, was 2.52 seconds. The best in the league were Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Kyle Orton, Roethlisberger, Fitzpatrick, and Andy Dalton were the tops.
At what? Just so we can compare.
It's time to attempt.
Right, but I meant like what were the tops?
Oh, they were Peyton Manning was 2.23.
Okay.
Brady 2.33.
So half a second.
So about half of a second there. And I'm trying to pull up to see if it, because part of it is the quarterback. Part of it is also the system.
Right.
So Mike Glennon in the same system was 2.6. So similar to McCown, but a little bit quicker. So that's interesting.
And I would imagine
something to keep an eye on.
As you look at Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, bigger wide receivers who can, you know, might take, you know, you want to run down the field routes with them, get them an opportunity to catch the ball, you know, up over a defensive back. They're not running a lot of the Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel type of underneath routes.
Sure. And in Chicago, in his very good year, he was 2.64. So it was just a little bit faster. And part of that could also have to do, what you're looking at is, as you said, how deep are you throwing the football down the field? Glennon, last year in terms of average depth of target, so air yards per pass, Glennon was second at Tampa Bay at 11.6. McCown was fourth at 10.7. So I think it was a little just more of a vertical offense last year than you saw with what the Browns would do. All right, we're going to take some more phone calls when we come back. 216-578-0850 here, getting your reaction. And I think there was fire certainly from Johnny Manziel when he threw that touchdown, gave your boy Eldrick a little bit of a boom fist pump right there for the hush down to Shane Wynn, the hometown boy. What a cool story that was as well. All right, back hour number two, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.